Orle pues, Raza, welcome to Chicano Highlights. I am your host, the Beto Man, Beto, and we have a very special guest here today, Miss Mona B, and she is a radio personality and artist, ¿verdad?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Qué bueno, qué bueno. ¿Dónde son tus padres?
Mis padres, mi madre es, bueno, que en paz descanse, que ya no están aquí conmigo. My dad was in Oki from Oklahoma, and my mother was born and raised in Mexico.
And what are their names?
My mother's name is Ofelia Medina, and my father was Don Henley Sr.
Okay. And hermanos y hermanas?
Tengo un hermanito, Don Henley Jr., who lives in Highland, very close to me. I have three half-sisters, Luz in Tijuana, and Lupe in Manteca, y Antonia in El Paso, Texas.
All right. Well, there you go. And where did you grow up?
I grew up, my first 9 years of my life were in Mexico, in Juarez, Chihuahua, where I was born. And then I grew up in parts of Norco, Corona, and then ended up in San Bernardino.
Okay. So, ¿por qué se vinieron tus padres to the United States? I mean, what was their journey?
My father was in the Navy, and he was in Vietnam. My mother was in the naval station in Las Cruces, Nuevo México. When it was time for my mom for me to be born, my dad was in Vietnam. So my mom went back to Juarez, where she was from, had me there, wrapped me up in a blanket, and came back over the border and came back to the Navy base 9 hours later. She did not realize the enormity of the mistake that she had just made.
¿Y luego?
Y luego, pues, mi papá, como se la pasaba in Vietnam, you know, back then, it wasn't like a 9-month tours. They were years. You know, he was gone for like 2 years at a time. I basically did not really get to know my father until I was about 8 years old. So my mother stayed on this side, and we went up and lived up in the north end of California with my family that worked in campesinos. And that's where I grew up in the earlier parts of my age, probably up until I was about 4 or 5 years old.
All right. And where did you go to school? Elementary, middle school, high school?
I ended up in elementary school in Corona at Lincoln Elementary, and I did not speak a word of English. It was all Spanish. Mm-hmm. It was difficult because I didn't know the language, didn't know the life to a certain extent of what it was to live here in the United States. I was a little Mexicanita, you know what I mean? All I knew was how to make salsa and tortillas and make sure I took care of my mother. So it was difficult for me, but I learned English in second grade.
All right. And middle school?
Middle school, I went to Norco Junior High and then ended up in San Bernardino for high school.
All right. And did you go to college at all?
I did. I got a scholarship to Cal State Fullerton and only did 2 of a 4-year scholarship. Unfortunately, I regret it now. Mm-hmm. At the time, I passed it up for an opportunity in music.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, are you married?
No, I'm not.
Kids?
I do. I have 4 beautiful kids. My oldest is Ruby, who's 30 years old, has given me 3 beautiful grandkids. She's a 911 dispatcher for the Sheriff's Department. And I have Brooke, who his birthday's tomorrow. She'll be 24. She's a teaching assistant in the Redland School District, focuses on children with special needs. I have a son, Ryan, who is 22. And then my youngest, who just turned 16, is my son, Adam.
All right. And so after Fullerton, right?
Yes.
Where did you start working?
I started working I decided to follow my dad's footsteps and got into law enforcement and started at Rialto Police Department in 1986.
Wow. Okay. So then you did go to the police academy, yeah?
I started the police academy, hurt my wrist, mm-hmm. and then ended up with a position up until I could heal as a 911 dispatcher.
Oh, great. Okay. And how long did you work there?
I worked at Rialto. Excuse me, not Rialto. Oh my gosh, it was Fontana Police Department. Is where I started in 1986. I was there for 5 years.
All right, cool. After that?
I went to Rialto Police Department and worked there for 10 years.
Okay. And after that?
I ended up at the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department for 15 years, stationed out of the Highland, City of Highland Station.
All right. That's a long career with a lot of law enforcement, ¿verdad?
29 years.
Well, good. Congratulations. That's nice.
Thank you.
So are you retired now?
I am retired. I retired a year ago in February, so I'm going on 2.
All right, good, good. All right, now, you mentioned something about music. Tell me a little bit about music.
Well, growing up with a Mexican mother, all I knew was Mexican music. And I'm talking about the older, la música viejita de Pedro Infante, Jorge Negrete, Amalia Mendoza, Lola Beltrán. That's all I knew. And so I grew up learning lo que es la música ranchera. So I still, to this day, that is my favorite, you know, music to listen to and sing, of course. So my mom loved to sing, and my mom loved to dance. She owned a nightclub before she met my father. So she's the one that taught me how to sing, and music has been a part of my life since the day I was born, technically. I mean, that was my escape. Because it was difficult growing up not knowing English. And the kids weren't sure if they wanted to look at me as a Mexican or they wanted to look at me as a white girl because I was very light-skinned, blonde hair, freckles. So it was hard to fit in growing up. Through my whole school age, elementary, junior high, high school, it was difficult because back then it was kind of like you had to fit in to something.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because that to me, that's very interesting. You know, the theme of racism is very interesting to me. You know, some people would think, well, you know, within Mexican culture, there's racism también. And yes and no. I mean, I don't want to get into too much detail there, but tell me how is the being blonde, ¿verdad? A lot of people see it as a very good thing because usually you're uplifted and you're pampered and you're given a lot more versus if you're a dark little Indio, ¿verdad? Mm-hmm. Usually, right? Not always, pero usually. Now, that might be different with your peers. Your peers might ostracize you a little bit. Tell me about that because I really don't know.
Well, being light-skinned, freckled-faced, blonde hair, but speaking Spanish was difficult because the Chicanos back then couldn't relate to me because of my last name was Henley, and they were like, "Well, how are you Mexican if your last name is Henley and you speak Spanish and you don't speak much English?" So it was difficult to try to relate to Chicanos, like it was difficult to relate to the lighter skin. Because they were like, "Well, you speak with an accent." So I ended up being more of a loner type, you know, because I really didn't fit either way. So I kind of just started my own thing in the middle. And that's who I am now. I still don't follow anything.
Okay. And tell me, did you join bands or different groups? What musical instrument do you play?
I don't play any musical instrument. I play a little bit of guitar, and that's usually just to help me with some of my songwriting. Mm-hmm. But I started singing myself, and it was música ranchera is what I've grown up with, is what I've always sung.
So tell me some of the songs in your repertoire.
In my repertoire, one of the most requested is Cucurucucu Paloma, mm-hmm. made famous by Lola Beltrán, Échame a mí la culpa, by Amalia Mendoza. Those are Paloma Negra, you know, the typical older music, mm-hmm. not the modernized ranchera. I don't particularly like to perform that kind of music. I stay very OG.
Okay, all right. Now, so then, do you sing with mariachi or do you sing with a conjunto accordion bajo?
Actually, I sing with two. I sing with a oldies band.
Okay.
Where we sing oldies.
And what is their name?
It's the Original Sacrifice Band. We've been together since the 1970s.
Okay, all right. And they are out of where?
They're based out of San Bernardino.
Okay, cool.
Inland Empire Band.
Mm-hmm. So you do oldies también.
Yes, I do oldies. You know, Ooh Baby Baby, Linda Ronstadt, that kind of stuff. You know, Tell Him. That's what I do. And cumbias. But then I also perform solo and with mariachi or with a trio.
All right. And now you say that you're a radio personality. Tell me about your radio personality. And how did you get involved in radio?
I got invited into radio by a local radio station in San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. And it was originally started as me wanting to sponsor one of their programs, but they ended up, I don't know, maybe in liking my personality, and they invited me to do a show. So I did that, and I've just fallen in love with radio. It's right up there with singing for me. I love radio.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of program did you have? What did you do on your radio program?
What I like doing is I know the struggle of being a new artist, and I know the struggle of knocking on doors and having them slammed. I know all that. So what I've always tried to do with radio is use it as a platform for new artists, for inspiring artists, especially Latinos, and giving them the chance to shine, you know, on the airwaves, put their music on the airwaves, a way of encouraging them to continue, that there is someone that is noticing you. There is someone that thinks you're worthy of listening to.
All right. So tell me the struggles of a female, you know, going through all these decades, and what were your challenges as a female, you know, in what would they call a good old boys club, the police department, in music and everything?
Well, to be totally honest, in law enforcement, I never quite felt that. I think it was because I was bilingual. I was so busy being thrown around here, there, come translate, do this. I was more of a mobile translator, to be honest with you, for many years. But anyway, I really quite didn't feel that within the law enforcement. But in music, oh, yes, yes. In music, it's definitely very difficult being a woman. Women are the worst against women.
Okay, well, give me an example. Tell me a story, something.
Well, women have a tendency to be a little harder on each other. I think that's just in life, to be in general, really, honestly. A lot of my close friends are males, and it's because they're easier to get along with. Women have a tendency to tear each other down, compete. Physically, the way you look, to how you speak or you sing, it's unfortunate. It shouldn't be that way. I'm not saying all women, don't get me wrong. You know, I belong to a big, huge of empowering women. And those are the kind of people that I associate with, is people that empower each other, especially women. But yes, I've had several fellow artists that have been difficult. Trying to find the right words. It's been difficult because they immediately have a feeling of intimidation, competition, and it should never be that way. On the contrary, we should stand together because we are women, because we are Latinas, and help each other out and lift each other. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen too often in music.
All right. How do you feel about La Idioma Español, and if people should hold on to it, or should they totally erase it from their repertoire?
Erase it?
Yes.
You know what? Shoot me in the head, because there's no way that anyone could make me or force me to erase that. That is I am very proud to be American, and I'm very proud to be a Mexican American, and I'm also very proud to be Mexican. So that is part of what's in my veins, what is in my throat, what's in my heart, what's in my head. And it would be impossible. No, we should not erase it. Never, never.
Okay. Well, good, because I'm just wondering, you know, how, you know, there's a lot of young Chicanas, a lot of young Chicanos también, ¿verdad?
Yes.
That they're in the system. And institutional racism is very big within high schools, and they force a lot of people to forget their language. You know, forget Spanish. Spanish is not important. Learn a second language like French or German. That's good, but Spanish is no good. Well, here, especially within the United States, and being bilingual is no good. According to them, ¿verdad? So then, you know, how can we encourage these kids to keep their language?
You know, it all goes back to the parents. And whether I wanted to or not, I was forced, and I mean that respectfully, I was forced to speak Spanish. I mean, I had no choice. It was either, that was the only way I could was going to be able to communicate for my mother, communicate with my mother, and communicate for her. So I didn't have a choice. But our parents have to, they have to teach them. They have to speak that language at home. They have to, it's the same way like when people, some of the kids now age, they don't want to hear mariachi music. They're like, oh man, that's boring. Mami, quita eso, ya no quiero escucharlo. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. That's part of our culture. That's part of what should be in our heart. My kids, they better not dare ever say to me, Mommy, I don't want to hear that. Oh my gosh, no, turn that off. No, heck no. I'm sorry, girl, that's what's in your heart. You have to listen to it. And that's the same way with, unfortunately, in these, you know, nowadays, it seems like some of the kids that are being grown up have a tendency to have more power over their parents because they're some of the parents that don't speak English. So the kids take advantage of that. And you run into these kids that, you know, you'll ask them a thing in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. What, man? I got a brown skin, but I don't speak Spanish. Well, you know, some of them do. Some of them do, but they're embarrassed or they don't want to do that or they don't feel they have to. Or, you know what? I get that all the time. Well, pay me extra and I'll speak Spanish. I'll do it for free. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think it also goes back to the parents. The parents have to say, you have to speak Spanish. They have to take that power back, especially in the Mexican, you know, in the Mexican families.
Exactly. And so then it is important to speak Spanish within the culture. Now, this was very critical in learning Mexican music because, I mean, you're learning a lot of traditional ranchera music. There is power within the words of the lyrics of these songs because they're talking about romance. They're talking about life. They're talking about struggle. They're talking about all kinds of stuff that is treasure, that is gold, and people don't realize what they're leaving behind. Everybody's into hip hop. Everybody, you know, that's all nice, but it's not the same. You know, when we look at music, we talk about traditional music, ¿verdad? Life, struggle, love. And today, with a lot of hip hop, we're talking about death, violence, and drugs, right?
Yes.
And that there's, so there's a big difference. Now, tell me, and you don't have to sing it, you know, just tell me a lyric real quick that really inspires you, in your heart.
Well, I think one of the reasons that I relate so much to música ranchera, mariachi music, is because I struggled growing up. I faced a lot of adversities as not being accepted, my looks, my accent, having an older mother and a younger father. There was 20 years difference between my mother and my father. My dad was only 20 years old. My mom was 42, a widow with three girls. So I'd faced a lot of criticism. Anyway, so Mexican music, like you said, is about passion. It's about life. It's about real struggles. That's one of the reasons that I relate to a lot to country music. It's the same thing. So I grew up with a broken heart I'm going to have to say all my life. I haven't been very lucky in love. I missed out on a lot of things because I had to be there for my mother. So I couldn't have that first boyfriend or that first date and miss my prom and things like that. So, for example, Échame a mí la culpa, which is a song by Amalia Mendoza made famous by her. It talks about just blame it all on me. And I'm that kind of person that I just like, you know what? I just don't want to fight. I don't want to argue. Okay. Just blame it all on me. And, that song, I can't sing it without crying. Mm-hmm. And it was my mom's favorite song. It was the first song I ever learned how to sing. And I relate to it a lot about a broken heart.
All right. And so tell me just a little bit about raising children. Now, we're gonna get into this just real quick. Did you teach them how to speak Spanish? Did you teach them about their culture? Did you teach them to be proud?
My children are very proud to be Mexican, to be Hispanic, Latino. They're very proud. They listen to mariachi music. They listen to norteño. They listen to banda. just like they listen to Bon Jovi and Lynyrd Skynyrd. I mean, that in my house, you'll hear rock music, you'll hear oldies, you'll hear mariachi. My kids are proud of mariachi music. If it comes on, they get the same thing. They get the chills that I do when it comes on. And you start hearing, walarajara, walarajara, you know. And that's how my grandkids are being raised, too. And that tradition is going to continue. My daughter, my oldest, is 30 years old. She's blonde, green-eyed, light skin, pale, and freckled face. And she has faced some of the adversities and some of the racism growing up herself. They actually got her in a corner one time and wanted to dye her hair black because they said, you know what, if you're going to speak our language, come here, girl, ven para acá, porque sabes que no puedes hacer güera y pelo rubio. And that was Chicanos that wanted to do that to her. So my daughter can read, write it, speak it, and my grandkids will too.
Yeah, it's very interesting, you know, how that occurs, you know. I just think it's hilarious in many ways, you know, that and it comes from the pressure of society, you know what I mean, to fit in, to be part of, you know, it's just very, very interesting. Yeah,
my mom growing up younger always warned me, and one of her warnings was, el mero enemigo del mexicano es el chicano. Now, she always told me to be careful because there was always, the Chicano was always going to look down on you because you were Mexican. Now, you know, of course, I don't face that now. I did face that growing up, but it wasn't just them. I mean, it was also the whites, and you know, I actually got along better with young black females, you know, back then. They were more accepting to me.
Right. Right.
So I, my mom, that was a warning that she gave me forever. Just be real careful. But I mean, times are different now. I think as Chicanos, we stand together. As Mexicans, we stand together. As paisas, we stand together. As Norteña, I mean, we stand together, period, as a group.
Yeah. It's very interesting what you're bringing up because, you know, as Chicanos, again, you know, within the United States, they tell us to just get rid of the Mexicans and our lives will be better. And people fall for that trick. It's called a divide and conquer strategy. And so then there's a lot of Chicanos that and there's a difference between terminology, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But because I'm a major in Chicano studies, a BA in Chicano studies. Anyhow, it really comes more, I think, from the what I call the Hispanic sellouts that want to be white, gringoized, they want to get rid of all the Mexicans because for some reason they want to play up to the white crowd. Mm-hmm. That they're good Americans, that they're patriotic, that they fit in, you know. Just let us stay, let us become part of you, and we'll get rid of them. And that's really where it all comes from, ¿verdad? Unfortunately, for many of us, I mean, we're all mixed, whether we like it or whether we don't. Right. All Spanish people from Spain are all actually white, you know. Mm-hmm. Just because they speak another language, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, a different raza. They're actually all white. The French, the German, the English, they're actually all the same people mixed in, you know. So a lot of people don't realize that. So we all are mixed. All races in the world are mixed. But it's interesting what you bring up, and I want to pursue that a little further later, maybe in another interview or something, because I would love to see and compare, ¿verdad?
Yeah.
That's what I do. Órale. Anyhow, so let's continue here. Now, you've been singing with this band in San Bernardino. How long have you been with them?
I started with the band in high school, fresh out of high school. I believe it was 1979. Mm-hmm. Actually, right before I graduated, I started with them in 1979, and I was only 14. I started 14 when I auditioned for them, but then I ended up finally being a part of the band when I was 17, and right out of high school. So I've been with the band on and off since then.
All right. Now, you also, I believe, have you ever recorded a CD?
Yes, I have. I've recorded two. I recorded one with the Original Sacrifice Band, and then I have my solo CD that I recently released.
Okay, so tell me, what are the titles of the CDs?
The CD with the Original Sacrifice is called Groovin' on Bunker Hill. And the Bunker Hill is an area in San Bernardino over by Valley College, and that's where we practice and we have rehearsed all these years. That's why we titled it that way. My own personal CD is called Money B by Popular Demand, which was actually a promo CD that has six of my most requested songs.
Okay, and those are mariachi?
Three mariachis, two cumbias, and an oldie.
Okay, all right. And if people want to get a hold of you, talk to you, maybe bring you out to speak or something, where can they find you?
They can find me on Facebook. I'm under Moni B. Henley, H-E-N-L-E-Y. Moni B. spelled M-O-N-I-B-E-E. Or they can find me on my artist page, which is just simply Moni B. And my third page is Moni B. Enterprises.
Wow.
All on Facebook.
Well, good. Is there any last messages that you want to give out to the raza out there, to the gente, you know, and especially to those people that happen to find themselves with blonde hair and blue eyes or green eyes, you know, which is also part of our raza?
I just want to say to everybody, especially to those light skins, that, you know what? You are Mexican. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not. You are Chicano. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not. We all belong together, whether we're blonde, freckled face, we have morenas, prietas, it doesn't matter. We are a family, whether you're born in Mexico, whether you're born here, we are a family. It's the same blood. There's nothing different between a paisa or a Chicano. We are the same, whether they want to accept it or they don't.
All right. Any last messages?
Yeah, that I love everybody. Remember those in prison. Please don't never forget those, the people in prison. Not everybody that's in prison is a bad person. Sometimes they're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us. We want to thank you for coming in. You'll come back, ¿verdad?
Yes, I will. Thank you so much.
All right. This is Ben Chicano Highlights. You've been listening to The Beto Man, a special interview here with Miss Mona B. And, bueno, pues that's going to do it for us. Remember to listen to Radio Aslan, KUCR 88.3 FM. Also on KUCR.org. Remember to listen to EastLAReview.com. That's R-E-V-U-E.com. And also ChicanoTexMex.com. So that's going to do it for us, Raza. Hasta la próxima. Ahí te guacho.